free energy now.
Imagine a world in which each home has its own power generator that obtains its energy in such a way that no fuel has to be added. Imagine every vehicle being able to run without ever stopping for fuel. Imagine each appliance having its own power source that never has to be recharged. That is the world of the future. Join with us now as we track our progress towards such a world.
Welcome to Free Energy Now. I'm your host, Sterling Allen. You can join us online at freeenergynow.net, where you can see our past lineup of speakers and see who's coming down the pike. Today, August 4th, 2008, our guest is Kazimier Hobovich. He is also goes by Stan. That's a lot easier to pronounce. His spelling of his name is K-A-Z-I-M-I-E-R-Z. First name, last name is H-O-L-U-B-O-W-I-C-Z. He is an inventor of what we call the gun engine. It is one of our top 100 energy technologies in our listing by the New Energy Congress. And we've had him on our radar screen ever since we started the New Energy Congress. I actually have somewhat of a close relationship via a mechanical engineer that we're associated with, Doug Furr, who was involved in doing some engineering, some prototyping for this technology. He's come up with an environmentally friendly and transmission-free engine based on the same mechanics as how a bullet is shot from a gun. Initial test results have showed in the vicinity of 92% efficiency. He was sending me an email recently saying that they had a Suzuki engine on a dynamometer, and they were putting 10% the amount of fuel in as normal, and they were getting the same amount of energy out. So that's a several-fold increase in fuel efficiency. Stan, thanks for joining us.
Actually, you make a mistake because the 10% of fuel yielded 40% higher power output.
Oh. So you're using 10% of the amount of fuel, getting 40% more power output.
That's right.
So do the math on that, and you're getting a many-fold increase in fuel.
And actually, I would like to tell you why.
Go ahead.
Well, the history of development of engines was rather indicating that researchers tried to avoid detonations of fuel, which is destructive to diesel or auto engine. But detonations of fuel are much better from the energy conversion point of view because the detonation generates much higher pressure and temperature. So the higher pressure causes mechanical failure of diesel or auto engine, and temperature causes melting of the piston. That is the worst cooled part of every engine existing today.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, I thought that instead of preventing detonations of fuel, I should go other way, which means trying to develop engine that would be destined to detonate fuels. And I came out with pretty good solution.
Go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, so if you could describe your system, your solution.
Well, I just placed the gun over engine. So the barrel of the gun prolongs cylinder of the engine. When you squeeze the trigger of the gun, the bullet squeezes the air that is over the piston of the engine. And at the same time, crank moves out of the alignment with the center line of cylinder and positions itself in a better position. The best position would be horizontal. So my effort was to develop an engine in which an additional piston that floats on a compressible air pocket increases the air pocket to the same pressure as was the explosion of fuel, and that at that moment when crank is horizontal, which would boost torque production about 100 times. And also it would make the torque independent, totally independent from the speed of the engine. Because today engine does not develop good torque at slow speeds, only at higher speed. And that is why the engine needs a transmission or reduction gear so it could move out car from the stationary to moving. And that is the short description of the invention. Yet the air pocket has many functions. One of the functions of the air pocket is to prevent destruction by huge forces related to detonation of fuel. So the air pocket reduces the stress in parts, so parts can be less expensive because they are less rigid. And in addition, when the bullet squeezes the air pocket to the maximum, it bounces back. So now the energy transfers from the air pocket back into exhaust. And the process continues until all the energy released from fuel is converted into useful work. Thank you.
Okay, so I'm trying to understand what you're describing here. When you say there's an air pocket in a cylinder, this is, if I understand correctly from the work that Doug Furr was doing, you're actually taking existing engines and you're retrofitting them.
Can you speak a little louder? I can't hear you.
With your technology, you are taking existing engines and you are retrofitting them with your system.
No. Retrofitting is only a part which was done because my partners did not want to develop engine from scratch. But okay. The main point is to develop an engine from scratch, like Doug wanted, to make it out of the plastics, multi-injection plastics, because Doug owns a workshop with multi-injection.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, there were people who were opposing that, and they controlled the money, supply, and everything, so everything went into wrong direction to retrofitting, which wasted money, in my opinion.
Yeah, unfortunately, I was just talking to Doug for just a minute before we got on the this call here, and he said that the person who was involved in financing and running the operation is now in court proceedings for some possible criminal charges.
Oh, very good to hear that. I like that.
So unfortunately, you had a bad apple, so to speak, involved in the business end of things.
Well, you know, I don't want to judge anybody, but I know one thing, that the money which were invested into the company, I don't know where they went, but they definitely did not went to develop engine.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Yeah, he's I don't know the name of the person. Doug actually mentioned the name, but I didn't write it down, and I can't remember the name.
Oh.
But yeah, he's being taken to court for the various criminal actions that he was involved.
Well, you know, I cannot comment on that because I have no idea who took money and whoever did what. I know only one thing. But until now, I should be paid at least $600,000, and I did not get a penny out of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's get back to talking about the technology for
That's
a minute.
That's better,
here.
You know.
Yeah. You want to ideally build an engine from the ground up rather than go with a retrofit.
That's right.
And in
it's
your
much
engine,
easier. It does not cause any trouble. Because during retrofitted we had some disturbances. Sometimes some holes which were in the body were not properly plugged. So we had to dismantle it and plug it and do it again, and this consumed lots of time. Instead of developing the engine within 3 months, we wasted more than 2 years.
Now, one thing about the engine is you're harnessing the heat from the detonation very efficiently so that it is turned into additional work rather than vented into the environment.
Okay. I want to cut in here. Normally, every engine releases energy from fuel as heat, which means pressure and temperature, because the heat in a small space generates high temperature, which causes high pressure. This is in every engine. But in today's engine, the releasing of the heat is pretty slow because fuel is supplied into engine as mist hanging in the air. So if one droplet of the mist ignites, it's igniting the neighbor droplets, and this is resembling a chain reaction in a bomb. But that is a very slow process. And because power is defined as energy released in time, slow releasing of energy gives less available power from fuel than fast. So therefore, I believe that slowing down energy release from fuel is a blunder, big blunder, because it consumes enormous amount of fuels, because every engine consumes about 5 times more fuel than it should, than my engine. Okay?
Mm-hmm. How are you able to achieve faster detonation?
Well, I vaporize fuel first, and when vapor is compressed by compression stroke and ignite, the reaction is instantaneous within the whole volume at once. So there is no propagation of flame. We cannot say that the flame propagates. It appears in the same time everywhere. And that generates at least 14 times higher pressure and temperature above 10,000 centigrades. So to prevent melting of metal, I simply inject water. And water injection causes a layer of water that absorbs radiation, because such high temperature generates huge infrared radiation, which is immediately absorbed by water. So bubbles of steam forms within the water, and that resembles secondary explosion, which produces very fine mist hanging in very hot exhaust. So each droplet of the water mist boils on the surface, and the boiling produces steam. So the steam with exhaust is mixed. And even though each droplet is very little tiny, and with very little tiny heat exchange surface, the number of droplets causes very fast cooling of the exhaust. So when we tested, the temperature of the exhaust was not higher than 140 Fahrenheit degrees, and that is achievement. Thank you.
105 degrees Celsius?
140 degrees Fahrenheit.
Oh.
So it was much below boiling water. Now, the most, when I was thinking about the engines, at the beginning, I wanted to know the causes of inefficiency. And I could not find a single page on the causes of inefficiency in engines. So I had to sit down and find all the causes. And I think I found all the causes. And by redesigning the engine, I eliminated all the causes of inefficiency. So we have much more efficient engine. In addition, the second law of thermodynamics prevents any real engine to be more efficient than Carnot engine. And the Carnot engine efficiency is defined by the temperature that is, by the temperature released of fuel. So by increasing the temperature of releasing energy of fuel by detonation, I also moved the limit of practical limit of limitation of efficiency up. And that theoretical limit in my engine is above 99%. And in every existing engine is below 90%. So I think I solved all the problems related to efficiency of engine. Thank you.
Uh-huh. How many prototypes have you built?
Well, at first I make my own prototype, which was built from scratch. It was a small engine made mainly out of fiberglass. So I bought a pipe, which was stainless steel, seamless pipe, and I pushed into it a brass liner, cylinder liner. And I make the engine from fiberglass, and I started to fool around with it using many different fuels. It operated pretty well for 2 years, but I made a mistake. At a certain moment, I just supply full fuel into my engine and put torque, maximum torque. And that caused the crankshaft splintered and destroyed my engine. So I came back home and I looked through the, I was very happy because the engine showed me a very good torque on, and it happened on pretty low speed. And I was also testing this first prototype on many different fuels, including hydrogen and acetylene.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, acetylene is a much more energetic fuel than gasoline. And the advantages of acetylene is that it is made out of coal, not of oil. So it has a good future. And I'm proud to say that my engine can operate pretty well on every available fuel. Yet the liquid fuels have to be... I want to say that my engine can work in both detonation and combustion of fuel. But detonation of fuel is much better because it produces cleaner output. You see, when you have engine in which the fuel is delivered into cylinder as droplets hanging in the air, some droplets of the fuel, when in contact with very hot internal parts, splits into carbon and hydrogen. Hydrogen burns pretty well, but carbon does not. So some part of the carbon that was unburned deposits as black engine deposit or is released into the atmosphere as black particulates. That causes plenty of problems. One of the most dangerous problems is that when inhaled by people or animals, it penetrates through this particulate penetrates through lungs into blood, causing clotting, and that leads to strokes and heart attacks. I am proud to say that vaporization of fuel eliminates this problem, so I hope that if it will be in mass production, we would not have so many strokes and heart attacks as we have it today.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying that because I'm also a victim of a stroke. which hit me very hard. Thank you.
So in your technology, with the pre-vaporization of the fuel combined with the...
Can you speak a little louder?
I'm sorry. With your technology, you have vaporization of the fuel. Excuse my ignorance, but I thought that in a regular internal combustion engine, the fuel was vaporized going into this combustion chamber.
No, it is not. It is not. And if it is vaporized, the engine is destroyed. And a good example is an engine in the plane. They have a special treatment of the fuel, so they want to assure that it is not vaporized. And
so, and the engine is not able to handle the high, the rapid explosion from the vaporized fuel.
That's right.
But in your system, it can handle it.
It is designed to operate better on the detonation of fuel.
In your system, is there a piston arrangement?
No, actually, my system is different than diesel engine because it has an additional piston that floats on a pressurized air pocket that is compressible. So when the fuel detonates, the huge amount of heat released from fuel instantaneously generates huge infrared that is vaporizing water, cooling it down, and at the same time the additional piston moves, squeezing the air pocket. So it prevents mechanical destruction of the crankshaft or other parts of the engine.
So the piston sits on a cushion of air.
Yes, the air pocket cushions the tremendous forces of explosion. And at the same time, the arrangement introduces delaying of building up pressure over the work-producing piston. So the highest pressure acting on the work-producing piston occurs when crank is horizontal. And that boosts torque up to 100 times from 14 compression ratio. And interestingly, in my design, the clearance between the bullet piston or additional piston is zero. And the compression ratio is defined by the pressure in the air pocket. Initial pressure of the air pocket.
Uh-huh.
Am I clear?
So the air pocket acts like a spring?
It is like a spring. Actually, you can replace the air pocket with spring, but spring has some limited number of bends, so it would break.
Mm-hmm.
Especially that it's very rapidly loaded.
Now, you were describing that you were contemplating building this out of injection molded plastics.
Yes.
Would they be able to withstand the temperatures that you're talking about?
The temperature is relatively low because temperature occurs only during explosion of fuel. And then it is very rapidly dropping down. As I said, the temperature of exhaust of our arrangement, which was not fully according to my invention, was only 140 Fahrenheit degrees. And interestingly, the maximum temperature was during idling. And when we loaded it, the temperature was dropping. Quite opposite to this, what we experience with diesel engine.
When you inject water, is that a second stroke or is it part of the explosion stroke of the vapor?
No, the water is just poured onto the induction valve, so it is sucked with air, with fuel mixed with air into cylinder. So when it is compressed and ignited, it's rather on the bottom, on the top of the additional piston.
So it's basically cooling the fuel almost simultaneous to its combustion?
Well, the cooling occurs after detonation because there is some inertia. When water absorbs the heat produced by the huge infrared radiation, first the bubbles form in water. And then the bubbles grow so fast that it explodes and produce mist mixed with very hot exhaust. And interestingly, the exhaust is comprised only from water and CO2, which is lower about more than 10 times than in original engine. So we have cut of greenhouse gases in about 90% and zero toxic emission. And interestingly, the production of this engine should be much lower than production of any engine, simply because it does not have certain mechanical parts and most of the things are replaced with electronics.
In terms of the inflow of fuel, you've got, let's say we're talking about normal petrol that you're feeding into the engine.
I don't want to use petrol at all. I think that the best fuel for this engine is hydrogen, because hydrogen explodes easily. And also think that other gaseous fuels are better than any liquid fuel because it eliminates process of vaporization. You know, and any device which is added to the engine complicates the engine. Why to do that? We have much cheaper gaseous fuels than gasoline or diesel. So there is no reason to use liquid fuels at all.
Well, one of the reasons is that hydrogen is very difficult to make and store and transport. So,
well, actually, I have invented a method that would produce hydrogen on the run. This is chemical method. So whenever you press the accelerator, the components, chemical components, mix producing instantaneously needed hydrogen. That is the best solution. You don't need to store it. You have two components. Of course, I don't want to talk about these components because I have not yet filed for patent for these.
Okay. So your system would produce hydrogen on the fly, on demand.
Right.
What's the source of the hydrogen?
Well, it's water. And plus chemical reaction.
Mm-hmm. And the so let's, just for the sake of understanding your system, let's say we have natural gas coming in, methane, and for the fuel, and then you've got water coming in. What proportion of the input is natural
well,
gas?
Well, actually, we have proportion. If you consider gasoline, right? I think that the best would be to pump about 8 parts of water for 1 part of gasoline. And if you have a gaseous fuel like natural gas, you have to consider how much water can be vaporized by natural gas, and you use this proportion. Normally, it is about 10 mol of water is vaporized by 1 mol of gas. So you can calculate that.
Uh-huh.
And that would be only to get a proper orifice. That would be applying this 10 times more water than one orifice would apply water in the amount of about 10 times higher than the natural gas, and that's very simple.
What about the purity of the water? Do you have to have highly distilled, purified water, or can you use
I use tap water, and it was okay.
Tap
and
water?
I would like to say that also you can recycle water. When you use fuel, it contains lots of hydrogen, so the combusting fuel produces water. So when you recycle water, you can have a very small, let's say, half liter or 1 liter tank, and which would be overflown during the operation, which you can just dispose.
So you have a small tank of water that is being used for the water component of the engine.
Yes.
And then, as the water is going out as exhaust,
you just condense the exhaust so that releases pure exhaust and condensed water in exhaust for recycling.
And you can do that fast enough that it's back into
On the run. No problem without it. It was not checked because the partners did not want to be too complicated engine and things like that. But, you know, these important things, which were really very important, were not really checked by them.
So you're basically using a very little amount of fuel.
Yes.
And you're reusing a lot of water, but the water is not being consumed. It's not being consumed from the system.
Yes.
It's staying in a closed loop.
Yes.
And then I would imagine some of the water is going to be venting out through the exhaust.
That's right. And I would like to say that if you have an engine like that running on natural gas, and the engine is producing electricity as a generator, and you are in California or other very hot part of the United States, you produce the water out of the natural gas and electricity, and you can use your water to water your lawn in the time when the restriction for water use is in place. So, you know, I think it is a very good system.
So if natural gas is the source of fuel, you're going to be producing more water in the exhaust than what you're requiring on the input side.
That's right.
You can use that water to water your lawn.
Right.
Okay.
So, you know, we have recovery of water, and water starts to be a pretty precious commodity because we have some part of the year that we have little water. So my system is providing extra water.
Would this engine work as a multi-fuel vehicle, or do you
yes.
have to adjust it per fuel that you put in?
No, it works also well on the. It works also very well on the blends of fuels, including gases and liquid fuels.
Is there
this
any?
I tested on my first engine, which I destroyed. I
you
had about 2 years of
the,
testing, and here I want to point out that I developed my first engine on a budget about $100 a month, and I was saving that money for a while, and then I developed it within 3 months. So I think that something went wrong in the organization I worked with, that money was spent, I don't know where for, and the engine is still not as it should be.
Are you in a position where you're needing another group to come on board with this, or do you have another group that stepped up already?
Well, actually, I am now developing a rotary engine, which is better than the gun engine. So I'm not looking for anything else, only money. So if somebody wants to make zillions of dollars with me, he is welcome. Contact me, and we will do business. But I refuse. Again, I refuse to allow anybody to put fingers into how to develop, what to develop, and timing and things like that. And if money is provided, I want to control it, because I have enough of thieves.
You've had bad experiences with other people controlling.
Very bad experience. And, well, it might be that I will lose this gun engine to some crook who will not be capable to develop the engine. But I will fight. And I will not tell how, but I will.
Is the rotary engine you're describing use the same principle as the gun engine?
No, it is totally different. It is totally different. Well, I have not yet filed for patent for it, so I don't want to talk much about it, but I want to say that it is different than Wankel engine, and it is also different than gas turbine engine.
Different from Wankel and different from a gas turbine?
Yes, different.
And it's superior to the gun engine?
I think it is. Because of the simplicity and because of ease to develop, ease to build, and it is totally maintenance-free. And it has only one rotating part that is placed on bearings, so we don't need any additional lubrication, only some forcing, some grease into bearings, and that's it.
Now, with the gun engine, somebody comes along and they want to see that developed, would you work with them to do that?
Well, if it is from British, if it is here in British Columbia, yes, but I don't want to go to other places like Utah or any other because I had very bad experience with that. Only here in British Columbia.
Uh-huh.
And I'm open for any suggestions which are reasonable.
Mm-hmm. How many hours of testing have your engines, prototypes?
Well, my first prototype was tested almost for 2 years, about 3 to 4 hours daily. Because this was my baby, you know, I was fooling around with different things. And one thing which I made a mistake was that I supply full fuel supply, and at the same time I supply full braking. So it destroyed my engine.
Mm-hmm.
But it was valuable in this sense that it showed a value, because torque was so huge that it was worth to proceed. So what I did, I went to the computer, I just went into the site of 2006 Arno Hydrogen Technology Exhibition, and the guys put in the bottom in a little writing that if you are an individual and you have a good idea, send us an abstract, and if it is interesting, we would invite you and cover costs. So I did, and I was invited to Germany. And there was a competition among 36 countries. The competition was titled Hydrogen Ambassador. And guess what? I won. And I won. There were 11 teams. Everyone was out of universities, professors, and I was only one as individual. So I got my reward and publication. Then the guy found my publication in the internet and in the German media. And the guy found me in the internet, phoned me. He sounded legitimate, so I went in business with him, but I was mistaken. So that's a short story.
Uh-huh. Well, that's something to be congratulated. That
thank you very much.
That's very good.
Oh, interestingly, I was invited to London because European Union introduced a very strict measures against ships entering into European ports and prevent ships that pollute. So they introduced, they would soon have the invention valid, but they want to have a meeting between me and ship's owners about my technology. And I'm going to present for them the presentation that the clean technology, clean air technology would improve their profit. And actually, I've already prepared the presentation and have it on my disk. Actually, it is on the memory stick. And I will go there, and who knows? Maybe I will get some contract to develop a large marine engine. That would be the best.
I would think the number of applications would be many.
Oh, yes. It's range from the boat to cars, electricity generation, helicopters. You know, in this time of very high-priced fuel, also long-range passenger planes would be interested in this.
Uh-huh.
But I have not yet approached any plane building corporation.
Well, I would like to encourage you to... even though you've had a bad experience with the Utah group, that you not let that jade you too much, because there's going to be a need for a lot of cooperation and teamwork to take this thing forward, and you're going to need to be able to trust a new group of people, and I hope that your experience with what's happened...
No, I don't want to live in as a person who is mistrusting everybody. So I'm not a person who would prevent anybody with a reasonable offer to get into the business.
How long do you think it would take to engineer a production prototype?
Well, if Dagfair is involved, I think within 3 months we would have a production prototype. And if Dag would get financing to get about 6 ton mold injection machine, we would get production within a year.
Uh-huh.
Because your friend Doug is a very efficient engineer. Actually, he has PhD.
Yeah. He's an extremely talented engineer.
Talented, right. I value his talent.
Yeah.
So, you know, And I want also to say that there are many other things which we can do with energy conversion, you know. And my recent invention is to develop a system to generate electricity from very fast mountain streams without putting a dam, without damming the stream.
Uh-huh.
And that is valuable simply because in British Columbia we have plenty of these streams, but the law prevents us because of the spawning salmon problem, because dam would destroy the spawning ground for the salmon.
Mm-hmm.
And my technology would not prevent salmon from spawning. It would involve only a long pipe. And on the end is a novel hydraulic engine that I invented that would produce electricity very efficiently. Let's say if you have a dam, no more than 5 or 1% of energy is converted into electricity. In my engine, in my system, it would be 97%. So there's a difference.
They call that run of the river
Yeah.
Do you have a prototype?
I'm just working over it.
Uh-huh. Because that's something I would imagine people would be interested in pursuing as well.
Oh, I'm open to any suggestions. Actually, not much money is needed to make a prototype of that engine, about $200,000. And the engine could be built within 3 or 4 months. This hydraulic engine for the electricity generation from streams.
Uh-huh. Have you filed for patents on that?
I'm just preparing for patent for that.
Uh-huh. How many patents do you have on the gun engine?
No, I have only just one. I don't have patent. I applied for patent. It's patent pending.
Okay.
And where the certain attorney wanted to file for 20 patents, I don't buy that. This was a scam trying to get money out of the pocket, simply because I believe that a device like that should be protected by one and one patent only.
Was he talking about other countries or just the United States, 20 patents in the U.S.?
He wanted to file 20 patents for the United States alone,
uh-huh.
which is ridiculous. So I warn the inventors, if there is a patent attorney who wants to file more than one patent, you better run, because it costs money, and probably patents will not be granted at all. Thank you.
So in the... it sounds to me like you've got a number of major endeavors turning around in your head and prototypes being built and whatnot. There really ought to be a team wrapped around you to help move these things forward.
Yeah, you are right. Actually, I have about 2,500 items listed as invention in my life, and I never bother to do that. Actually, I have only one patent which I applied in 87, that was a device for remote sensing. But I was unable to get any interest of it, so I wasted money. And I said to myself, I would never ever file for patent again. But with the gun engine, it was a little different because I had a physiotherapist, because I'm partly paralyzed. And my physiotherapist, when I told her about it, said, you have to file for patent. And she was pressing me to do that. So once I sit at the computer and I started to write it, and then I send it to the patent office. The patent is not yet granted, and I have some dispute with the patent examiners. Some guys demanded that I will support my invention with prior art, but I cannot, because this is new. It does not work like diesel. It does not work like auto engine. It is different engine, simply. And I don't know what is behind it.
Thank you. Do you need help from a graphic artist?
Sorry?
Do you need assistance from a graphic artist?
Sure.
We've got one.
Yeah, but you are in Utah, right?
Yeah.
Well, I'm here. So how can I communicate with him?
Through phone, and I would imagine a trip could come into play.
Well, you know, the trip would cost money. I'm just a person who is not, whose account is empty.
Uh-huh. Well, we'll talk about that afterwards. Maybe we can help out there.
Okay. I'm open to any suggestions.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, it's a very exciting technology. So I had a question earlier about the multiple fuels that you said could be run through this engine.
Yes.
Talking the gun engine. If would you need to have any adjustments on timing or other aspects?
No. Which the timing is exactly at the top dead center. And that is because at that moment the space containing the explosive fuel is minimized. So when explosion happens, more pressure and more energy is delivered to the additional piston, which moves faster. If we tested that the retardation or advancement of the ignition does not have any effect, any visible effect on the operation of the engine. And I believe that the top dead center release of energy is better than any other.
Uh-huh.
So the engine don't need to be tuned. You know, every today's car is tuned twice a year, once in the fall, once in the spring. My engine does not need to do that. But during the winter time, you have to put some alcohol or something to prevent water from freezing.
Right. Is that going to affect the function of the water in cooling down the fuel?
No, actually, the vaporized alcohol from water would add energy to fuel, to explosion. So it would be two parts. One is the detonation, and another slow combustion of released alcohol. Nothing wrong with that.
One thing we've not talked about is the continual torque across the entire spectrum from low RPM to high RPM, where you would not need a transmission because this thing could go as slow as needed or as fast as
needed.
That's
right. Actually, I believe that my engine can produce torque as high as maximum torque at a start point.
Well, Stan, I really appreciate you coming on this show. Let's give out, if you want to give any contact information where people can get a hold of you.
Sure. Can you ask Doug to phone me? My phone number is 604-525-7917. And my email is gun-engine@shaw.com.
gun-engine@shaw.ca.
Right.
Okay. And we do have coverage of your technology at pezwiki.com. Just type in gun engine, you'll find it fast enough. And again, this is one of our top 100 energy technologies, has been for a couple of years. And imagine it'll be moving up as a result of this interview, finding out more about what you're doing, and hopefully we can help you move this forward.
Okay, thank you very much. And I appreciate anybody who wants to invest and to work with me to phone me, the same phone as I given to Doug.
Okay, will do. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Free Energy Now, brought to you by PES, Pure Energy Systems. You may access past archives and upcoming show info at freeenergynow.net and join us for our daily news at freeenergynews.com. We invite you to see our directory of energy technologies at peswiki.com. That's peswiki.com. PES, the Pure Energy Systems Information Network.